Welcome to The Near Memo, a weekly conversation about search, social, and commerce. What happened, why it matters, and the implications for local.
Welcome everybody to The Near Memo, episode 122, where we talk about all things local, and today is another all Google episode. So we're going to dive right in, and we're going to talk about a new Google ad unit.
Before we do, I just want to point out that if you're watching this video and you don't see any sparkle in Greg's eye, it's because he just got back from Las Vegas. So, just saying.
I'm tired. Yes, I was at a conference. I was at the Milestone Internet Marketing Conference, and I did a presentation on consumer behavior and banking for local marketers, and then one on sort of the holistic direction of Google and local. And I'm used up. But not so used up that I can't do this podcast. Anyway, so here we are again. Come in again. So the three of us are here to talk about all things local. David's going to talk about a new Google ad unit, local ad unit. Mike's going to talk about some new GBP policies and guidelines, which seem to clarify things, but maybe not entirely. And I'm going to talk about the emergence or the inclusion of links in Google SGE, which is a really important development. So David, why don't you take it away?
Sure. So I'm sorry to steal Mike's thunder, but he wanted to talk about the new guidelines. So Mike is actually the one who discovered this ad unit, and it apparently was new even to Barry Schwartz. So
that's a rare event.
That's how we can actually identify that it does seem to be a new ad unit. I have only seen this ad unit on mobile. I've not been able to replicate this on the desktop. Essentially, it is a relatively horizontal ad unit that appears embedded in the traditional ad results. So this is not a pack ad or a local finder ad. It may also appear in the local finder, but this is the surface that Mike saw it on was a traditional Google mobile search result. And it's a really simple ad unit. It's essentially the business name, their ratings and reviews, volume and stars, their category, a very small map about where they're located, and some photos. And so it's pulling all of this information from the Google business profile, requires absolutely zero creative on the part of the business. Theoretically, this is part of some Performance Max local extension thing where Google is sort of—
They don't call them local extensions anymore. They call them local assets.
Local assets, where Google is sort of choosing the keywords, which I would certainly have some reservations about as a marketer trying to optimize budget. I don't know that that's that it still is pretty fast and loose with your dollars, I think. But from an ad creation standpoint, this is exactly the product that Google should have released over a decade ago. I think all of these features were available in Google business profiles or whatever place pages way back when, since time immemorial. And it's exactly the kind of ad unit that is compelling to users. It is essentially, reviews and photos are the two most used areas of Google business profiles. Requires no knowledge on the part of the business. It's just a really, really smart release on their part, I think. I just wish it had been around a long time ago. The irony is that because the new, what's it called? The INSERP GBP editing experience, whatever that's called, NMX.
NMX, new merchant experience.
New merchant experience.
But that's not Google's term. That's Google's term.
That's their initial
Google's term. Yeah.
And they're using NMX?
Since the advent of NMX, it has become much, much, much more difficult to actually manage your photos. There was some indication that they've actually released a way to do this now, which is like a hybrid of the dashboard within the NMX experience.
That's always been there. If you had multiple locations and you clicked on the image, it would take you to that dashboard editing environment. But you had to have multiple locations. You had to know to click on the image. So the only person whoever did it was me because I click everywhere, right? So
anyway, since the advent of the NMX, it has historically been a cluster to manage images. It's becoming less so. So one would hope that this is I hope for the sake of business owners, this is a very effective ad unit. It certainly seems to me to be that as a prospective searcher, and it makes it really easy for a business who needs additional exposure to get that from Google. So I I'm pretty interested to see if Google does release any, you know, specific data around how effective these new units are.
Well, it won't be for a while, at least, if they do at all. I mean, the analogy I think of is to LSAs, right? Which are quite a bit more effective than traditional Google ads. And in our user testing, we saw that people explicitly said, I'd avoid ads, but they very often clicked on LSAs because they didn't really look like ads. They had all this additional information similar to what you're describing about the new unit.
Yeah, I think in some respects, so the LSAs have these Google guarantees or Google verified
screen
language, which is part of what Google screen. Sorry, thank you. Part of what's appealing to people is sort of the novelty of that. I think that this looks more like a map
traditional ad.
Yeah. So I think it may not quite have the same cachet, but agreed. I think it's, you know, if the user is able to, the searcher is able to recognize the pin in the map, for example, and might even recognize the brand name, right? If it's a sort of suburban or rural location, I think it's a pretty compelling format and one that is likely to draw a lot of clicks. So,
well, I mean, I think that the Google screened and Google guaranteed badges certainly are trust signals to people, but nobody knows what they really mean. That's sort of the irony of all these labels that are circulating.
And like every Google process, they've been spammed and misused, and Google has very little quality control, even though initially they tried to implement, you know, more. They've let the quality control down, and so they don't really even mean what they say they mean at some level because they've been spammed. And so there's fake locations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fake reviews. Oh,
in that sense, the term Google screened is still accurate, right? It's screened as well as Google screens anything. So,
right, but there is a certain deceptive advertising aspect to that one would think that consumers aren't aware of.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I always thought that the FTC could go after Google because Google is making representations about the accuracy or the trustworthiness or the veracity of the listing and its claims. And, you know, with the spam in there, we don't know what the precise numbers are, but there's a lot of it that sort of goes beyond third party user generated content. But they haven't, so far, there hasn't been any action on that. So anything more on that item, David, before we go to Mike?
Nope.
Okay, so Mike, Google released a bunch of new policies and guidelines. And what are they and what do
they
mean?
I would rephrase that to say that Google is now telling you what the guidelines are. These have long been the guidelines. They've just been secret. So
that's important. Secret guidelines are very helpful to people.
They're very difficult. And unless you've looked at 100 cases, you don't even know that they're guidelines, right? So only, you know, 10 or 20 people in the world know that these were the guidelines. And you had to pay them $300 to help you get reinstated. But so anyways, Google has announced that publicly and documented this, that they will now suspend a business for account level restrictions, as well as eligibility and content issues, right? So account level restrictions, for example, your Google account's not in good standing, maybe because you got caught cheating on AdWords. It doesn't matter where, it'll be applied to GBP and you can get suspended. If they find that a given account and GBP is abusing a lot of GBP locations, that'll get suspended. And there may be suspensions due to abuses within the data structure of GBP. And then, of course, obviously, if the business isn't eligible or the business doesn't exist or they're using a PO box. And then so in that, what's interesting about that and where the devil is in the detail is whether, let's say you are a small business and you hire a less than honest SEO and that SEO's account gets suspended, your location may get suspended as well. And the question in this with these account level restrictions, now that they've admitted that they exist, which they always have, will be whether the small business is told why it's suspended. Now, there are some visual clues when that happens. They don't lose data. It doesn't go out of the index, that sort of stuff. Like if you're an ineligible business or if Google believes you don't exist, you literally go poof and you're gone. Whereas in these cases, if there are account level restrictions, the listing still exists in its form. You can see it. You just lose access to it. So it'll be interesting to see whether they tell the business that that's why it was suspended.
Well, so the idea that you as a small business hire somebody and then that person that you've hired has done something questionable on one of its accounts that's unrelated to your business and you get suspended, that seems to me to be fundamentally unfair.
Well, if the it has to be more than one, I mean, that other account that's the SEO, they had to have gotten caught on 100 cases or whatever the numbers. There's some
well, but level. I mean, it's still sort of unfair if you're, I mean, it goes to the how diligent the local business is or the business is in hiring the firm. But if right. you've got an unethical firm, which a lot of them are, and you're going to get penalized. I mean, that's
right.
It's liquidating your bank account because you were banking with First Republic, for example.
Well, the only true. The only thing that happens though is that you're no longer verified, but the listing stays intact. You're still getting leads and stuff. So in that, all they have to do is re-verify independent of the bad SEO, and that comes back. If Google believes that the business is itself is ineligible, doesn't exist, using a P.O. box or, you know, whatever, caught abusing too many times, I mean, it goes poof. And then you really have trouble, right? Then you have to prove to Google it exists. Now, the other interesting side of this announcement was that they also finally announced why certain assets might not show up, content might not show up on your GBP. So this is I've written in the past about images just being stamped, not accepted, and there was no path to recovery. They not only are now telling you why this content, or might tell you why it was, giving you the reasons why it might have been rejected, but they're also giving you a form you can fill in that you can dispute the assessment. So that's a change. And my guess is that this is due to regulatory environment in Europe, where I don't know that for a fact, but that's my guess, that they are being expected to provide more provenance. Accountability.
More transparency.
More transparency. But only in the United States can they be allowed to run free and roam the prairies like a cowboy.
Yeah. And our hope for any kind of Europe-like privacy or transparency right. or any kind of legislation like that is about zero at this stage of the game.
Right. So they list out, and this content not showing is that could be because the profile that posted it was either deleted or disabled or suspended it or whatever. It isn't verified. That's duplicate content that's already live. Or there's this one category at the end called submission error, which is Google's way of saying that, you know, the pipelines are full, they couldn't handle it, they just gave you an error, and then probably that's what's scary about this is that you still may not know why or what's going on. And if it's a submission error, these are ones that I've written about in the past too. You give them 48 hours, they just self-correct. But how is a business to know that unless they actually are explicit about this? It is only a step in the right direction, not truly something that's in the right direction.
Well, that's
better than it was.
That's like
Google
the video beer.
The remedy is take two beers and come back on Monday.
No, they actually provide a new form, but link to that form from any place. So it's like, you know, you got to know to put certain words in the support area. If you put those words in, like image not approved, and then you click in the right spot, you'll get that form. So it's still a little bit of magic.
It's like the scene from the Incredibles where the old woman is in Mr. Incredible's office, and he's telling her all the ins and outs, the sort of arcane bureaucratic rules of the insurance company, and she's able to navigate it, and the boss blows up at him. Like, how did she know those things?
That's right. So,
all right. Well, so I'm going to talk today about Google SGE, finally including links. This has been one of the big, big criticisms of SGE from the people that are using it, from the SEOs that are using it, is that Google is lifting passages, lifting content from third-party sites without attribution. That's one criticism. The other is that you can't really assess the accuracy of SGE without links. And other AI enhanced search tools, Neva first, which is now gone, as well as most of the others, including Bing, include links and citations. So you can go to the source and assess it or get more information. And so Google is finally doing this. They've got three or four different presentations of this that they're testing in parallel. One is kind of paragraphs of text where they include the relevant link immediately after the content that is associated with it. Another is where they show bulleted lists of information, which is the most common presentation. And then they've got the link at the end of the particular bullet. And then there's another one, which I'm seeing more than the others, which is a little kind of quotation mark at the end of the line. And you click that. I thought it was initially a rollover, but you click it and then you get a drop down that shows you multiple citations. And then you click one of those and you can go to that page. And none of this, that's all a positive development. None of this pertains to local, because the way that local is set up is you've got a vertical list of different places, you click the link and you get the knowledge panel within the SGE experience, and then you click the website and then you can go to the particular right. website. So
the citation is Google Maps.
Right. That's right. So
and the net result is everything's two clicks away, or most
not in every case. Not in every case. In this situation where you've got the little quotes, or in the local scenario, you're two clicks away from the source material. In the other presentations, I believe it's one click. I'm not seeing those as much, but I think that's right. It's just a single click. You see the link and you can click on it. And so that's a very positive development. Now people are sort of parsing and trying to kind of reverse engineer this from an SEO standpoint. We still don't know anything about how consumers are responding to this, really. I think Lily Ray and Glenn Gabe have said that SGE is not showing up in Google Search Console for people, or there's no traffic, really, not much traffic attributable to SGE.
I have two theories there. Number one, very few people have enabled Google Labs to see this. Yeah. Number two, Google hasn't been sending any links, so where's the traffic going to show up?
Well, right, exactly. So those are very logical explanations. But I think my fear is, while I welcome this development, my fear is this will just preempt everybody else. That Google has this SGE, which still is it's very slow, but it sort of satisfies the need to present AI results. And then, having the links will address the concerns about plagiarism and zero click, and people won't go to Bing, or they won't go to Perplexity, or they won't go to the other sites, and it'll be Google kind of preempting all this other stuff. And I think that would be a very sad thing if that were to happen.
So if this were fast, though, would one of these presentations satisfy you as a general search result? Is it fundamentally better, different than what you're getting now?
Well, I think for certain categories of queries, it could, right? So in the past, when you did an informational search and you would get an answer, you couldn't really determine how accurate it was. I mean, you could sort of say, that sounds right, or kind of try and verify it in other ways. But now with links, you can, if you see a credible source, you can accept it at face value. So that satisfies the concern about hallucination. And if it's sped up quite a bit, I think it could be, it would be better. But then we'll have to see how people interact with this, because is it going to be something that drives traffic? Is it going to just be a big zero-click black hole? Especially now that people can take a look at it and say, "Oh, I see the link, and I've got the information." Yeah. But it's not going to cannibalize traffic across the board.
I also don't think it's a wildly in local anyway, where there are locations being shown. I don't think it's a wildly different experience than
it's not
what Google has today. So
no, it's really redundant. It's redundant. Yeah, it is. I mean, what Google should do is they should make the SGE into the local pack. They should just merge those and make that SGE experience a better overall experience with more context and more results.
I mean, if it is no better and it's slower, why do it at all?
Yep.
Well, if it remains slow, so what Sundar Pichai said on the earnings call, he said a bunch of bland things. Marie Haynes wrote up a kind of an article that was pretty bullish about AI and Google's future. I've taken the position that they're ambivalent about it, but they seem to be less ambivalent. He's saying, we're getting good feedback. It's getting faster. We're happy with progress. I think speed is a major issue, but if they can speed it up, I think people will respond to it. It remains to be seen how many of these links are automatically presented, how many of these AI snapshots are presented automatically versus the manual, you know, push the button. If you have to push the button, you're not going to do it. If they show it to you, as they do in most of these local scenarios, then you're going to look at it because it completely dominates the page visually.
Although there's a certain verbosity to the local results that don't strike me as particularly valuable.
It's the local pack is still more useful than the SGE stuff. You know, it's like you've got SGE and then you've got the local pack, and the local pack is better still. So, but it's a significant development. Google had always said they were going to include links. And so we'll see. I mean, I'm just eager to get any user data at all to see what people are doing and what people think. I mean, we can't really extrapolate from our own experiences in this context.
Yeah.
So, but all righty then. So I guess that brings us to the end of another exciting episode, episode 122. Tell your friends. Thanks for listening. We're getting more subscribers, more downloads, which is encouraging. And we'd love to have you advocate on our behalf if you think we're worthy. So please do so, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for joining David, Mike, and Greg. To stay on top of the latest developments in local, subscribe to our newsletter at nearmedia.co. We'll see you next week.